Well, we are in Galatians chapter 6. Once again, tonight we will be looking at verse 5. I want to read to you the first six verses of chapter 6 to set a context. But before I do, why don't we bow together for prayer? O Lord, you are very great and glorious in all of your ways. We thank you for bringing us here this evening to help us to understand your ways better and the things that you would have us to be and to do in living our Christian lives. By the grace of Jesus Christ, how we give you thanks, Father, for him. For we couldn't possibly begin to live the Christian life without having been forgiven of our sins, having been justified, and being given grace day by day. So come to us this evening, we pray, and enliven our hearts. Open the eyes of our understanding to behold these wondrous things from your word. For we pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work. And then he will have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Well, thus far in the study of this chapter, we've seen that it is the solemn and loving responsibility of those who are spiritual in the local church to restore one of their fellow members who has been overtaken in a fault. This restoration, we are told, is to be done in a spirit of gentleness, not harshness or in anger or contempt for the other person's sinful weakness. And while the process of restoration is taking place, those who are attempting the restoration are to consider themselves, they are to look to themselves, lest they also be tempted to sin against the one overtaken, or to commit a similar sin as the person they are attempting to restore. We are not to become conceited, it says here, provoking one another, and it's the end, last verse of the fifth chapter. Not envying one another, but rather we are to examine ourselves in regard to our own attitudes, our own works. We're not to focus inordinately upon the failure of the one who is being restored. We are to undertake this responsibility in such a way that that person will come to the place where they will repent and they will want to walk more closely with the Lord. And hopefully in time they'll be brought to a place of spiritual maturity and usefulness to the Lord. This is not just the responsibility, this restoration is not just the responsibility of the pastor of the church or the elders of the local church. It's the responsibility of everyone who is spiritually minded in the local church. This is what it means to bear one another's burdens, we've seen, and thus fulfill the law of Christ. Now this evening, I want to set before you this complementary truth, that every Christian shall bear his or her load. It's a follow-up to our learning how to bear one another's burdens, and it is, first of all, the truth that each of us is responsible to bear our own particular burden, that is, of dealing with our own particular sins and with pursuing righteousness, verse 5. And then second, the truth that each of us is responsible for how we provide for our own needs and looking out for the needs of others in the local church. So we want to consider these things for the well-being and strength of our church, as well as for the strength of our own souls. So first of all, let's understand that each of us is responsible to bear our own particular burden, that of dealing with our own sins and with pursuing righteousness. Verse 5 says, "For each one shall bear his own load." The King James translation says, "For each one shall bear his own burden." Now, it ought to be apparent to us by now that each Christian person is responsible for how they deal with the burden of their own sins. They're not only responsible for dealing with the sins of other people around them who may have been overtaken in a fault, but it's very important that they understand how to go about trying to restore such a person without sinning themselves. This text is speaking to us about each Christian's learning to deal with the burden of their sins in an ongoing sense that shows that they are coming to know themselves better. They're growing in wisdom, hopefully, in terms of dealing with their own particular sins and with their flesh, that is, their indwelling, remaining corruption, which in the letters of Paul is spoken of in that way, as the flesh. Each Christian must come to terms with how to bear this burden. And it is a burden. For in their doing so, they will be glorifying God in the way that they live, and it will help them greatly in terms of their being able to be of help to others who are struggling with issues of sin. Let's start from the beginning of the Christian life. For a true Christian, when they come to see themselves as a sinner, when they become convinced that they needed to do something about the heavy burden of their sins, they believed in Jesus Christ. They believed in the gospel. The grace of God was working in their hearts. They came to the Lord Jesus so that they could deal with the greatest burden, this heavy burden of their sins. And they believed in the Lord Jesus. And I want you to turn with me over to Matthew chapter 11 and verses 28 to 30. We're talking about bearing our own burden. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. These are very familiar verses, but Jenny, when you get over there, if you would read them for me, I'd appreciate it.
"Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my load is light."
Mm-hmm. Now, how is the person described here whom Jesus is inviting to himself?
Weary and heavy laden.
That's exactly right, Dave. They're weary and heavy laden. They're burdened, in other words, with their sins. Now, when a person is burdened with their sins, why are they burdened with them? Can you tell me? Various reasons. But we want to try to uncover this just for a moment.
Sometimes people get...
their sins are under conviction.
They're under conviction. That's true. Brian, what did you want to say?
Sometimes we get caught, and the results of sin are grievous sometimes.
Sometimes we're caught, Brian says, and sometimes the consequences of those sins are grievous. And truly, that's the case. Now, notice with me that this person who comes to Jesus is weary with their own sins. They feel heavy laden. They feel burdened by them. And they read the promise that Jesus will give them rest for their soul. And they've been trying to deal with their sins, but they can't. And they would like to be free from the burden of sin, but they know that they can't do this without Christ's help. And so they believe. And now they no longer have to bear the burden of their past sins, for Jesus has suffered and Jesus has died, having made provision for that at the cross. And all their sins are taken away and removed from them as far as the east is from the west. But what I also want us to notice here from this passage is that it's not only just talking about the initial forgiveness of sins, as great a thing as that is, but it's talking about the learning process that goes on after conversion to Christ, where the one believing in Him is to take up their yoke and learn from Him. Because, says here, He is gentle and humble of heart. Now, I don't know about you, but that is a very precious thing, because when we study these verses before the one we're studying tonight, it says that when we see another brother or sister overtaken in a fault, we are to restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. But the beautiful thing about all this is that when we come to the Lord Jesus, Jesus is the one who teaches us this. Why? Because He is gentle and humble of heart. And because He's that way, then we learn from Him. And so He is saying to us that we are to take up His yoke. We are to take His yoke upon us and learn from Him. Now, what does that mean when it says that we are to take up His yoke, the yoke of the Lord Jesus? Can you tell me?
I think it's a significant of service, and no matter what the cost, kind of thing.
That's good. Signifying service, no matter what the cost, Brian says. I believe that what this yoke is, and that certainly includes what Brian is saying in every sense of the word, it's our sanctification, really. It's our learning to keep the commandments of God from the vantage point of Christ Himself, helping us by being a yoke fellow with us. Now, this is really a wonderful truth that I want to delve into here for just a few minutes. He says His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Why is it easy and why is it light?
I have a thought, but I don't know if it's quite what you're getting at, but you kind of think of a yoke as something that you're laboring at. We're not looking at our own labor. We're kind of taking Christ's labor. We're kind of joining in Him with His work, which is perfect and has no guilt of sin or no wrath or consequence. So I think that that has a lot to do with that.
That's right. There's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And what Christ is inviting us to when He invites us to Himself in salvation is to take this yoke up. In other words, that we take up everything that He is going to bring to us, not only in terms of our justification, but also in terms of our sanctification, the imparted grace, so that we will be in this yoke together with Him. I hope that you can see what is being talked about here. There's a grace that Christ supplies, and this grace enables us to be able to bear our burdens. Yes, Dave? Yeah, go ahead.
The point to make was, typically when I think of a yoke, there's at least two hooked together in order to pull the burden.
That's exactly right. And that's exactly what Christ is inviting us to with Himself. In other words, we're not in this by ourselves. When we bear our burdens, we need to understand that He is there with us. That His yoke is easy and His burden is light. We are joint heirs with Jesus. He is helping us by His grace day by day. He's giving us strength. He's giving us wisdom. He's helping us to break up the fallow ground of our hearts and to sow the seed of the Word by His grace into our hearts, just like we're doing tonight in this Bible study, so that we're sustained in bearing our own load or our burdens on all levels. The levels of confession of sin, of forsaking sin, and of obedience to the Word of God. Now, I want you to look over with me at Psalm 55 and verse 22. Psalm 55 and verse 22. And Rosie, when you get over there, if you could read that for me, I'd be grateful.
55, 22.
Yep.
Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain it. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved.
Now, this is just a very encouraging verse. Cast your burden on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. And it's a great advantage which is given to every Christian man or woman in bearing their own burden. Christ is there pulling the yoke with them. Christ is there with them daily, helping them to bear their burden. Look at Psalm 68 and verse 19. If we've got a New American Standard Bible in the group here, maybe Dave or Marty Elena ought to read this particular verse. 68:19. Go ahead and read that if you want to, Dave. Or Marty Elena, whichever.
Blessed be the Lord who daily bears our burden, and God who is our salvation. Selah.
Amen. Blessed be the Lord who daily bears our burden, the God who is our salvation. The New King James says, blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. So I'm saying, and the Bible is saying here, that we need to cast our burden on the Lord and He will sustain us. And the way that He does that is because He daily bears our burden with us, and He is our salvation. He loads us with benefits. And we trust and we understand those are the benefits of not only favor through justification, but also imparted grace, once again, strength, wisdom, the fruit of the Spirit in our heart, those fruits which come through Jesus Christ, that we were just studying in chapter 5. It's 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 21 to 25. You can go ahead and read it now.
Okay. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in His mouth, who when He was reviled, did not revile in return. When He suffered, He did not threaten, but committed Himself to Him who judges righteously, who Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. By whose stripes were you healed? For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the Shepherd and Overseer of your souls.
Amen. Thank you for that. Now you can see here what every true Christian does in relation to their believing in the gospel. They come to the foot of the cross in their mind and heart, and they believe in Jesus. just like the hymn that we sang here a few minutes ago. They laid their sins on Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God. He bears them all and keeps them from the accursed load. They believe that he bore their sins in his own body on the tree in order that they could do what?
Die to sin and live to righteousness.
That's exactly right. Die to sin and live to righteousness. You see, we've returned to the shepherd and overseer of our souls, the one who's watching over us. Our God is watching over us, we who are going astray. And we came to know that Jesus, who is merciful and kind to sinners, bore our sins, it says, in his own body on the tree, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. And I'm saying that this is bearing our own burden. Dying to sin and living to righteousness. Spiritually speaking, which is this first point, that's what it is. Jesus is helping us with these things, living this way. And so we find that there is a burden of daily cares and responsibilities that relate to our own soul and the way that we live before God. Listen to Horatius Bonar again in that hymn we just sang a few minutes ago. I lay my wants on Jesus. All fullness dwells in him. He heals all my diseases. He doth my soul redeem. I lay my griefs on Jesus, my burdens and my cares. He from them all releases. He all my sorrows shares. Now those are powerful, powerful words. And this is bearing your own burden, but you will learn to do it all with Christ's help. All these different aspects of what we're talking about require God's help. You will at times have burdens related to your job, burdens related to your being able to provide for your family. You're going to have at times sorrows and disappointments related to your own ability to fulfill all that God has called you to do in living the Christian life. But by the grace of Christ, you're going to take up these responsibilities and you're going to find by faith that you can go about to do them and live obediently to God's holy word. Now, in the process of all this, you may become weary. You may become weary. Because burden bearing, that's the nature of it. Sometimes you grow weary. But with Christ's grace, it will be a burden that he will help you to bear. And this is why the Lord says to each one of us who belong unto him, as it says there in the verses that we read in Matthew chapter 11, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Sometimes we are very weary, and we really need rest for our souls and for our bodies. This is the great principle that undergirds a Christian's bearing their own burden, is that the Lord can give us rest, can sustain us, that he can refresh us, he can encourage us day by day. I want you to look at Jeremiah 31 and verses 23 to 26, and you'll have this confirmed for you. These are amazing verses, and I'll try to explain them to you as best I can. Jeremiah 31, verses 23 to 26. And Maria Elena, can you read those for us?
Going out with loss. For I have
These are very encouraging verses for not only Old Testament saints, but New Testament saints as well. The Lord was, through the prophet, telling the children of Israel how he would bring them out of their captivity and back into their land again in the future. His work would be so effectual that Israel would be called a home of justice and a mountain of holiness. And this, we should understand, is a prophecy not only of the old covenant restoration of Israel to their land and to the privileges and blessings of material and spiritual prosperity, but it can also be legitimately applied to the church during the days of her prosperity during this present evil age. The principle to be understood is this. God would bring these great things about. The farmers and those going out with their flocks. And we can apply that in the New Testament sense as being a picture of churches, of pastors, and their people. Because that's what a pastor does. He shepherds the flock. And so what we need to understand from this is this wonderful principle. It is God, through Christ, who will satisfy the weary soul, it says here. Who will satiate. That's what that word is there. It's a very fancy word for satisfy. The weary soul, he will fully satisfy the weary soul. And it is Christ, it says here, who will replenish every sorrowful soul. Now, how do we know that it's Christ that does this? Well, if you look at verse 22 of this chapter, it says, "How long will you gad about, O you backsliding daughter? For the Lord has created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall encompass a man." And this is referring to Jesus Christ. It's referring, I suspect, in the initial sense of it, to the Virgin Mary and her encompassing the gift of God in her womb, our Lord Jesus Christ. But then in the second sense, it refers to the church itself, all those gathered by his grace who surround him, encompass him, and look to him for grace each and every day to be satisfied, to be led and guided into all the truth by him. What an amazing thing this is here. I have satiated the weary soul, and I have replenished. You feel like you're out of strength? Christ replenishes your strength. Every sorrowful soul, you're down, you're discouraged, you're troubled, you come to Christ. You can't sleep? Well, when Jeremiah heard this, it says here, he awoke and looked around and his sleep was sweet to him because of this truth. And you and I need to learn to draw on the strength of Christ by faith. We need to do this day by day. If we do not, we will become weary, discouraged, and unable to face the various things that we go through in the Christian life. We need to understand here that what Christ does is principle of grace in our hearts, that he waters and nurtures us by his presence and his power. And this is what allows us to bear our own burden. And so take heart, dear Christian, Christ is with you to do these great things. May this truth be believed by every one of us here. Because that's how these things come to us. It's our faith that overcomes the world. It is our faith that engages Christ. It is our faith that receives with the outstretched hand and the yearning soul the things that he has to offer. Now, secondly, we want to look and consider the truth that each of us is responsible for how we provide for our own needs and look out for the needs of others. in the local church. We want to consider together a couple of examples of what it means to bear our own burden in terms of our providing for our own needs. The first is an exhortation given to us by the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verses 9 to 12. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verses 9 to 12. And Vicki, if you could read that for me, I'd appreciate it.
But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And indeed you do so toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside, and that you may lack nothing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks for that, Vicki. Now, part of bearing your own burden comes from being able to be satisfied with the life that the Lord has given to you. And what is that that we are to strive to have in this life? What kind of a heart, what kind of a life is described here? Can you tell me? What does Paul mention here that we should be content with or to pursue? Yes, that's exactly right, Vicki.
With your own hands.
That's right. All of those things that he mentions there. To strive to live, be content with living a quiet life. Work with your hands. Don't think that you need to be the center of attention. Working hard at what the Lord has given you to do. And it says here, walking properly towards those who are outside. And, interestingly enough, that you may lack nothing. Now, that's very interesting, isn't it? So part of bearing your own burden comes from being able to be satisfied with the life that the Lord has given to you, being content with living a quiet life. Now, I guess we need to ask ourselves, if that's the case, what's the opposite of this that he's talking about here? Well, I think it's being a meddler. Being a meddler in other people's business. Always thinking that you do have to be the center of attention. You feel like you have to do dramatic things. But that's not what the Lord has called us to. We don't need to meddle with other people's lives, other people's business. We pay attention to ourselves and the way that we live. And we pay attention to ourselves first and foremost of all, and not as to how others are living. We don't need to do that continually. But we humbly and diligently provide for the needs of ourselves and our family so that we will lack nothing. And in the process of this growing in grace, in this kind of simple, straightforward obedience, we will at times see other Christians around us who are not living up to the standards set before us in the Word of God. What are we supposed to do? Well, I think that sometimes we need to do what our text has been telling us to do, and that we need to restore. Attempt to restore such a one. It's not as though we're always trying to find something wrong with somebody around us. But when we see someone who's overtaken in a fault, what these verses are telling us to do is to attempt to restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, looking to ourselves, lest we too be tempted. So turn with me over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verses 6 to 15. And I will read these verses for us. But we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us. For we were not disorderly among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. Not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this: if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are such we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. And if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person and do not keep company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Now here's a person who is, it appears, is a brother, but he's walking disorderly. He's walking disorderly. What's he doing here? What's the description of what he's doing? Can you tell me?
I like some of these guys on TV lately.
Can you explain that a little bit, Dave?
Yeah. I don't think they're Christians, but they're people on the streets creating havoc. They're busybodies. They're leading an undisciplined life. They're not working, and they're living off of somebody else.
Mm-hmm. But this guy evidently professes to be a brother in these verses. I agree with you. I'm not disagreeing that that's the case. There's a lot of people out there like that who are not believers. But what we're talking about here is a brother, as far as we can tell. But he's walking disorderly. He's eating other people's food, and he's mooching off them, if you will. He's taking advantage of their generosity. He doesn't really think it's necessary to work and provide for his own needs if others are willing to give him what he needs. And this is actually a fault that he's overtaken in. He might consider himself to be wise in living this way, but he needs to be restored. What can be done? What does the apostle tell us that we should do in this kind of a situation?
We're to exhort them in the Lord and tell them that they need to change their ways.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we are to exhort them that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. And then in verse 14, it says that we're not to keep company with them if they don't respond to that exhortation, but that we are not to keep company with them that they might be ashamed. And yet, in verse 15, we're not to count him as an enemy. We're not to consider him as somebody who is against us and we against him, but to admonish him. We are to warn him as a brother. Very interesting words that we have here. What else do you think we can do in a case like that? It's mentioned in verse 13.
Well, I don't believe he's talking about shunning the person, but just not hanging out with them on a regular basis.
And right.
Then don't give up on that person, but continue to exhort him or her in well-doing.
Right. That's right. And verse 13 says, "But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good." And that, what is that but bearing your own burden in action? In other words, bearing our own burden in action is not growing weary in well-doing. Even though there are people like that who consider themselves to be Christians, and yet they may not even respond correctly the first time we come to them and tell them about the fault they've been overtaken in. What's wonderful here is that if we do not grow weary, we may indeed admonish him and win our brother back to the correct way of thinking and acting according to the Bible. You may. Go right ahead.
I think in some societies this is a cultural thing that people do this.
Mm-hmm.
And I've read at least about the Roman Empire and what kinds of things people were used to doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one reason why that maybe not, but that you use patience with such a person.
Mm-hmm.
Because when ingrained cultural things, it's hard for people to break it. And not just this, but other things as well.
No, you're very right. Yeah, Brian's saying that, that this is a culturally related thing, and sometimes it's very hard for people to break from the way that they were taught, when the way that they grew up, the way that they lived before. And so that's why this kind of an approach is really necessary. I think that that's really good. And I think that's why it says here, don't count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. And don't grow weary in doing good. Set a good example, which is something we can always do, you know, to promote the truth of the matter. We set a good example ourselves, and then we admonish and teach others to follow that good example. If we're spiritually minded, that's what the Lord has called us to. And that's part of our bearing our own burden. We look at ourselves, we see if we're doing what the Word commands. We see that it takes Christ's grace to help us. And then we teach others that very thing. Their responsibility, but also that it takes grace. Any other thoughts, any other questions or comments or anything? I found this a very interesting study. But this whole book has been interesting, and especially the sixth chapter has been particularly interesting. All right.